world this week.
The negotiations between Egypt and Israel reached the stage of a deep crisis.
A defiant Menachem Begin comes to Washington saying Israel will not be pressured.
We do not want to occupy any Vietnamese territory.
Deng Xiaoping, through an interpreter, says it again.
Public will pay and pay and pay.
And a gasoline retailer says U.S. motorists are addicted. I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. More Middle East summitry in Washington this week. Two-way this time. Israel's Prime Minister Begin and President Carter trying to break the deadlock that's holding up an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. The result? No major progress. Bob Simon reports.
Members of the Israeli delegation say they're not disappointed at the lack of a breakthrough in Washington because, frankly, they didn't expect one. Considering the deep divisions among the parties, they say, anyone who thought that some magic formula would emerge after a couple of days was being terribly unrealistic. The Israeli position now is that there should be a pause, time for reflection, which is one way of saying that while there's no immediate prospect for a treaty, no one, not Jerusalem, Washington, not Cairo, wants to call the whole thing off. Begin will go to New York tomorrow evening to take his case to the Jewish community and to the American public. Judging from an interview he gave this morning, he'll probably criticize the American role in the negotiations as being one-sided, but will not attack President Carter personally and is likely to insist that there is no crisis in relations between Israel and the United States. Bob Simon, CBS News, Washington.
More after this.
Wild, majestic, and threatened. The elephants of Kenya. This is E.G. Marshall. Join me tonight for Last Stand in Eden, a look at Kenya and the ongoing struggle between man and beast over land that may not be big enough for both. An exciting National Geographic special on public television made possible by a grant from Gulf Oil Corporation.
Gulf invites you to watch Last Stand in Eden tonight at 8, 7 Central on PBS.
Vietnam warned its citizens to prepare for a wider war with China as this week ended, but hints that Peking's about to end the conflict got stronger, as Peter Collins reports from Hong Kong.
The second week of the war ended with a Chinese military victory that many analysts here in Hong Kong believed would set the stage for an end to the fighting. On Tuesday, according to intelligence sources, waves of Chinese infantry supported by tanks and massive artillery fire stormed onto the hilltop screening the town of Lang Son, 75 miles northeast of Hanoi. 3 days of bitter fighting followed, with Vietnamese units, including one regular infantry division, taking a heavy beating. By early Friday morning, the battle was over, and Chinese troops pushed through the abandoned provincial capital and passed it at least 2 miles on the road to Hanoi. As the week ended, the Vietnamese were reported rushing more regulars to the scene. And from Peking came a series of television reports broadcast to the world justifying China's actions. This, together with a defeat handed the Vietnamese at Lang Son, led observers to conclude that China would soon declare victory and begin a withdrawal. But there was no immediate confirmation of this, and only the week ahead will tell if the war is in fact ending. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
The war did not slow the improvement of Sino-American relations. Embassies formally opened, and Treasury Secretary Blumenthal talked trade in China and heard a Chinese offer of reimbursement for U.S. property seized in 1949. Bernard Kalb reports.
The Americans were surprised that the Chinese were ready to agree to a formula that would mean a settlement of 41 cents on the dollar in cash to liquidate about $200 million of American claims against Peking. To the Blumenthal mission, it was a good deal. For both the United States and China, it helped clear the way for a projected trade agreement, a prelude to what both sides see as a substantial jump in two-way trade, with the Chinese looking for substantial U.S. credits and lower tariffs in the process. When it came to China's military action against Vietnam, it came to nothing. Blumenthal left Peking without being informed of China's precise military intentions on that front. But that was not the purpose of the trip. The purpose was economic. It helped firm up links between two countries with a mutual anxiety about the Russians. And there was no doubt that the Blumenthal people were heading home with a sense of achievement. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Tokyo.
The World This Week continues in 1 minute. Chills run up and down your spine.
There's a creeping sensation at the back of your neck. You're listening to CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I'm E.G. Marshall, your host for these hour-long dramas of suspense, adventure, and the macabre. Heard 7 times a week on most of these stations. Here's a sample of what we mean.
Quiet, man. Listen, and you'll hear it.
I don't hear anything.
It came from the bow, a keening and the sobbing of a little child. And then it changed as I went forward to look. I swear it came aboard and went down, down below. I was afraid, but I followed it. Oh, Doctor, I tell you, it went right into the captain's cabin.
Listen here for CBS Radio Mystery Theater 7 times a week on most of these CBS Radio network stations.
U.S. intelligence ran into trouble with the Iranian Revolution this week, forced out of some very secret listening posts near the Soviet border. There was trouble within the revolution, too. A rift apparent between the spiritual leader Ayatollah Khomeini and his prime minister, Mehdi Bazargan. Mike Lee reports.
Khomeini criticized Bazargan's call for a democratic Islamic State, saying that an Islamic State is all that's needed, that democracy is implied. Khomeini's armed militias did agree to hand over law enforcement powers to the government police. But as the week ended, it was clear that Prime Minister Bazargan and Khomeini's Islamic aides had yet to iron out their differences over the future direction of the country. One thing everyone does seem to agree on is the need to resume oil exports in the coming week. Mike Lee, CBS News, Tehran.
An announcement this week that Iranian oil will soon flow again to world markets, but in amounts nowhere near those of pre-revolutionary times. From Washington, predictions of $1 a gallon gasoline in the U.S. in the not-too-distant future. New pricing rules to encourage refiners to make more gasoline, tacking on a nickel a gallon this year. Market forces likely to add another dime. And weekend gas station closings may be closer than we think. Voting in the Midwest this week, and a one-time student of daily politics in Chicago, Jane Byrne, brought the Daily Machine to its knees.
I think the people in Chicago have spoken. I'm glad that they've spoken. I think we've opened the city. I want it open. I think it's good for the city. I think it got ventilated, and I think we can start and build a beautiful new dream of Chicago.
She defeated incumbent Michael Bolandic for the Democratic mayoral nomination. That just about assures her a victory in elections next month. And in Cleveland, Mayor Dennis Kucinich says he beat the establishment as voters supported his call to keep the municipal light company under city control and approved a city tax hike to help bail Cleveland out of financial troubles. Challenging politics, the rule these days in Washington and London, as Rod McLeish tells us in this week's commentary.
What is similar in the two situations is a common inability to find a solution to inflation and a growing conservatism among exasperated British and American publics. In British polls, Prime Minister Callaghan's Labour government trails Mrs. Margaret Thatcher's Conservatives by a stunning 20%. Mr. Callaghan has been Prime Minister during a time of disruptive labour troubles, and Mrs. Thatcher hasn't. The fed-upness of the British public over inflation and taxation is closer to the boil than a similar American fed-upness. But both have given birth to a new conservatism. If for no other reason, conservatives seem more practical when it comes to money and the policies governing its extraction from and spending on the public. Mr. Callaghan may be doomed by all of this. Mr. Carter is certainly threatened. Rod McLeish, CBS News, Washington.
And this week, Voyager 1 moved in for its close encounter with Jupiter. Scientists say they're delighted with the pictures coming back. The World This Week, produced by Harry Polosian. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.